Crossbreed Holster Studios. 10 years on the air and 10 years on target. This is Armed American Radio.
You know, the right to bear arms is because that's the last form of defense against tyranny.
We're making the Second Amendment great again.
I am a very strong supporter of the Second Amendment.
Educating, informing, and entertaining responsibly armed citizens from coast to coast. Here is your host of Armed American Radio, Mark Walters.
Armed American Radio's Monster Cast. I spend all week waiting to get inside these Crossbreed Holster studios with you. So if you're ready, I'm ready. Let's go ahead and kick off this huge Monster Cast. Another great lineup for you. In the essence of time, we're going to go right smack to Mr. Alan Gottlieb, founder of the Second Amendment Foundation, fresh off of a trip from Washington to Washington, D.C. He's back now in Seattle. Alan, welcome to the program. How the heck are you, sir?
Great, Mark. It was a really fruitful week in D.C., but a long, crazy trip back. But I'm glad to be home and ready to hit my desk tomorrow morning and start working for gun rights again.
Well, you're always doing that. And Washington, of course, this was CPAC. And did you get a chance to spend a lot of time at CPAC? I know you had a lot of other things going on. Can you clue us in?
Well, I'm on the board, you know, of the ACU who runs CPAC. Right. So I'm sort of have in the cockpit seat for what goes on there. So I spent a good deal of time there, but I wasn't able to be there for the whole conference because I had a White House staff meeting at the White House. And unfortunately, at the exact same time that Vice President Pence was going to be at CPAC. So I missed Pence and didn't get my had a chance to talk with him and thank him for his hard work on behalf of gun rights to get my photo op. But I was meeting with White House staff on some very important matters, defending gun rights at the United Nations, things that are happening at ATF, as well as certain staffing of people in various government agencies that tend to not be gun rights friendly, that need to be have part of the swamp drained. And so it was a very fruitful meeting at the White House. In addition to that, I had two private meetings, so to speak, with groups of 20 of us. One with Laura Trump from the Trump campaign, outside of the White House, that we got into some of the nitty gritty of what's going on in the campaign, and particularly how gun owners are really very heavily engaged in that campaign, and obviously very welcome to work with it, and particularly in the battleground states. And then I had a really great meeting with John McLaughlin, who's the president's pollster, where we went over all the battleground states, polling data, plus all the things that are going to impact polling data or make a change between now and the election that everybody knows about. So that was really fruitful and really, really upbeat.
So the meeting, can we start with Laura Trump? Can I ask you some questions about Laura?
Yeah.
Tell me about, because I did not know you were meeting with her or McLaughlin. I knew some other things about CPAC, but I did not know you were meeting with those two. Let's start with Laura Trump. Was she talking specifically about gun rights, or was this just part of a larger meeting?
There were about 20 of us, and it was a briefing on how the campaign is coming. They're relying very heavily on volunteer efforts in a lot of spaces, particularly the battleground states. And gun owners are really critical to that. And it was really interesting, just some crazy data we talked about and things. The rallies Trump is holding, and most of which are in battleground states.
Right.
30% of the attendees at the rallies are Democrats, and most of them own guns.
Okay, hold on a second. Let me touch on that quickly before you go any farther. Because when we saw Trump take Pennsylvania, for example, and when we saw Trump take let me just focus on Pennsylvania. Pennsylvania is a great example. A lot of blue collar, heavy blue collar, a lot of union, a lot of Democrat, a lot of gun owners. That's would we call that the Reagan Democrat?
Yeah, you would. And the fact that 30% of the attendees at his giant rallies, are Democrats.
That's huge.
It is very, very huge. And of course, that's something that is great for our protecting our cause. Then on top of that, almost 30% of the people that attend those rallies did not vote in 2016 or 2018 elections. And a significant percentage of those are gun owners that we've now reached.
Now, the 30%, the first 30% that are Democrat, do we know whether that's up from the previous election? Is it steady? What do we know about that? I would guess if I had to put money on it, I would say that number was up from 16.
Okay, well, we'll remember the fact that these are the people attending the rallies.
Right.
These are not just Democrats saying they're going to vote for Trump. These are Democrats that aren't only voting for him, but they're working for him.
Right.
Okay? Now, so, the only thing you can compare that to is what happened in the 2016 race. And the truth of the matter is we don't know because the metrics weren't there. The metrics that Trump campaign runs on everything are so sophisticated this time around that they know everything about everybody who attends their rallies, you know, the databases are just absolutely amazing. And that didn't exist the other time out because the campaign flew by the seat of its pants.
Right.
It is so well organized right now. And it's such an oiled machine and they're so well funded that it can do things that nobody ever could think any presidential campaign could ever have done in the past. And a lot of that is reaching out to gun owners and making sure gun owners are engaged and involved, active, and will vote in the upcoming election. It's really exciting. So she went through some of the things that they're actually doing. And then John McLaughlin, the president's pollster, sat down with us and went over a lot of the polling data for the, you know, key about 19 battleground states. That's actually the Trump campaign's actually expanded the battlegrounds to about 19 because they have the money to do it and the means to do it right now. And what's interesting is he compared his polling data versus the polling data that most of us are seeing, you know, in print in the newspapers,
right,
and on TV. And there's a significant difference in this, you know, and when you get into the funny numbers, so to speak, on why there's a difference, right now Trump is doing extremely well. If the election were held today, he would win. And he would win, just as we were talking, how he would win bigger than last time. That's right now, that is really true. Everything can change between now and election day is an eternity, but what's going on is absolutely amazing. You know, a lot of the polling data that people take is based upon what they think turnout's going to be.
Right.
And so they poll, you know, let's just say they want to poll of 1,000 people, they may poll 1,400, and then out of the 1,400, they will single it down to the 1,000 based upon the metrics they think is going to turn out. How many Democrats, how many Republicans, how many independents, how many union people, how many, you know, blacks, Hispanics, et cetera. And the polling data that's being done by virtually every company out there is missing the matrix mark tremendously. And when John McLaughlin goes through why they're missing the matrix mark, it's really obvious, and it's great. Most of every poll out there shows that only 23% of Republicans are going to show up to vote. Well, the truth of the matter is that in every election, every presidential election, like way back, at least 30% show up. There is no doubt there's not a 7% fall off of Republicans, right, going to be turning out to vote. That's just impossible. When you play with those numbers and you readjust them for what turnouts are probably going to be, it's about a 5 to 7% change in all the polling that you're seeing in the press right now, moving into Trump's favor.
All right.
So if they have him losing by 3 or 4 points, he's actually winning by, you know, 1 to 4, 3 or 4 points. And the data that they're polling shows and proves it.
This is really intriguing, Alan, for a number of different reasons. Let me enlighten you, listener. First of all, this is not my first rodeo talking about polling data with Mr. Gottlieb. We do this off air from time to time. And Alan, based on what I'm hearing from you, that's enough meat to cover an hour. I'm not going to have that much time with you. I want to get to some pointed questions between now and the end of the next segment that I have you for. But I want to go out on a limb and say this. Number one, polling scares me. You know that. Why? Look who's in the White House. We all know what happened in 2016. I've been pretty critical of polls. I think it's really hard to scientifically guess what, you know, 100 million Americans are going to do because you polled 700 or 800 or 900 people and you got a margin of this. And we saw that failure in 2016. However, you sound, and correct me if I'm wrong, but this is the most optimistic I've heard you sound about polling data and Trump since 2016. Over the last 4 years of Donald Trump. Am I misreading your excitement here?
Well, no, you're not. But it's also the combination, not only seeing, you know, inside polling data, but also seeing what's going on in the campaign and what they're doing about it.
Right.
And that's just really important. But they weren't that far off the mark, quite honestly, in the 2016 polling. I mean, Trump did not carry the popular vote.
Right.
When you're looking at the polls that you're seeing, they're talking about nationally. Well, those national polls are unfortunately overloaded with people from New York City, Los Angeles,
right,
San Francisco, Chicago, and as a result, it's not really polling the kind of polling you need in the battleground states. Let me as an example, just take a section to talk about Pennsylvania.
We've got 45 seconds. Take that, and then we can carry it to the next break. Go ahead, please. Get us started.
Okay. Well, if Trump carries Pennsylvania, this year, the election is over. Democrats have no chance, period. Pennsylvania is the point of the spear. And in Pennsylvania, you know, heavy gun owners, heavy hunters, and other things that are playing out is Catholics are very traditional in Pennsylvania. Other issues, not guns, that are affecting, you know, other people are playing well. The no fracking the Democrats have come up with, you know, the union members don't want to lose their high paying jobs that are not, they now have in fracking.
Yeah.
Everything is coming into place on top of the polling data. It looks so good right now.
That's good to know. When we come back, I want to go back to Pennsylvania with Alan Gottlieb. Wonderful information. I'll be back right after this. Don't go away. I promised you a new year in 2020 on Armed American Radio. Now you get to say hello to Bursa. Born in Argentina and raised by shooters all over the world, Bursa is amazingly accurate, predictable, and reliable. Also, more safety features than you can imagine with added value in every single trigger pull. It's a gun you'll definitely want to own. Home defense, concealed carry, competition, target shooting, first-time buyer, seasoned gun owner. Whether you want something for your purse or service and security, say hello to Bursa. Bursa.com. BERSA.com.
America was founded through the blood of hard-fighting, hard-drinking men. Men who believed in freedom and whiskey. Who laid down their lives and their fortunes forging the bedrock of this republic and in doing so created a new species of man, the American. Lead Slinger's Whiskey was founded by 7 combat veterans who were tired of people afraid to support the Second Amendment. Together, they brought their love of American bourbon whiskey to freedom-loving, like-minded Americans. For more information and to read the story of Lead Slinger's Whiskeys and Rum, visit LeadSlingersWhiskey.com today.
Defender Coffee was created by patriots for patriots. It's coffee for Americans devoted to defending the Second Amendment. It's coffee for Americans who understand that if you don't fight for your freedom, you lose it. That's why Defender Coffee donates 100% of profits to gun rights organizations that fight to defend the Second Amendment. When you drink Defender Coffee, every single cup defends your right to keep and bear arms. Visit DefenderCoffee.com today and join the coffee club while you're there. DefenderCoffee.com.
The revolutionary Crossbreed Super Tuck holster is the most comfortable and concealable inside the waistband holster you'll ever wear, and nothing even comes close. Designed to completely conceal a firearm of any size and made to be worn with any attire, from shorts and a t-shirt to a suit and a tie. Based on your personal carry style, the Super Tuck may be worn comfortably with or without your shirt tucked in. Find out why the Crossbreed Super Tuck is the most often imitated but never duplicated holster design in the world. Visit CrossbreedHolsters.com today.
It's the Bill of Rights, not the Bill of Needs. I'm Alan Gottlieb, founder of the Second Amendment Foundation. When someone says, we don't need that kind of gun, remind them the Founding Fathers determined what rights our Constitution should protect. There's a world of difference between rights and needs. It is not the function of government to tell us what we need or what we don't. Certainly no one needs an assault rifle or a Saturday Night Special, or for that matter, no one needs a Corvette with a high-capacity horsepower engine capable of speeds to 150 miles per hour. But in the hands of honest, responsible individuals, we have the right of choice. We have the right to read books others don't like. We have the right to listen to any radio program we choose. We have the right to dress the way we want to. We also have the right to own firearms of our choice. So the next time someone tells you, you don't need something, tell them it's the Bill of Rights, not the Bill of Needs. Join the Second Amendment Foundation today so that this message and our Bill of Rights might live. Call 425-454-7012. That's 425-454-7012. 454-7012.
From Crossbreed Holsters comes the Women's Appendix. With softer leather and smoother corners, the Women's Appendix holster was designed specifically with the female body in mind. This holster is intended for popular small firearms and has no cant, so it can be worn on the front side of the body. Featuring a crossbreed hand-molded pocket for a perfect fit, we ensure the Women's Appendix is your answer for any woman who wants to carry a small firearm in a front position. This versatile holster can be worn in the standard appendix or cross-draw fashion. Find your perfect fit today at crossbreedholsters.com.
Celebrating 20 years in business, GunBroker.com is the world's largest online marketplace to buy and sell firearms, ammunition, and accessories. With over 1 million auctions daily, you can expect to find a limitless number of top brand names on GunBroker.com. Sellers, you can reach nearly 5 million registered users on GunBroker.com. And buyers, you can buy with confidence knowing GunBroker.com respects your privacy and is the only online marketplace offering buyer's protection. Buy or sell your next firearm on GunBroker.com today.
to Sebastian Gorka letting you know that the Desperado Sport Fishing Crew in Virginia Beach, Virginia supports Armed American Radio and our right to bear arms. Now, back to Mark Walters.
Armed American Radio's Monster Cast in the Crossbreed Holster Studios. I'm excited. Have been through the break. Alan Gottlieb, founder of the Second Amendment Foundation, fresh back from a trip from Washington, D.C., where you met with Lara Trump and McLaughlin. You met with the president's pollsters. That was really positive information I heard from PA, because I believe, let me just put it this way, in my simple mind, Alan, with everything you just mentioned, the Democrats going after fracking, the union members not wanting to lose their jobs, the vast majority of them are gun owners. We saw the attacks. They saw the attacks that they were under in Pittsburgh with their mayor trying to, you know, violate their state constitution, let alone their constitutional rights. What, you know, when the during the synagogue shooting, trying to blame the rest of the state and gun owners and go after them, much like Virginia. This, I don't see Pennsylvania in any way, shape or form. And I feel comfortable saying this. By any stretch of the imagination, deciding, oh, we're going to go for a socialist. I don't see that happening. And the fact that you said Pennsylvania goes, we all go. Do you think Trump pulls the popular vote this time around?
Nationally, no, because he's not going to concentrate on California. They can't win. California,
okay, right.
California, I mean, no. I don't think Trump's going to get the popular vote, but it isn't going to matter.
Right.
That's not the way the election is set up. Other things in Pennsylvania, just as an aside that Laura Trump talked about. They've opened up, you know, campaign offices in Philadelphia, as an example, you know, which votes like 99-1 Democrat to Republican. Mm-hmm. And they're not calling them campaign offices. They're calling them community centers aimed at the black vote in the black community. And they've got like really good black support and turning people out, handing out Make America Great hats and all kinds of things. I mean, they're moving the campaign into the inner city because they have the money to do it now. Things that Republicans in the past have never, ever, ever done. I mean, they're taking this campaign extremely seriously, and luckily they have unbelievable numbers of volunteers. They have upwards of 1 million volunteers that are on their databases, that are being worked on, called all the time, that are out in the community doing things for the Trump campaign. Of that million, a significant percentage are in those 19 battleground states. And of course, when you hear about battleground states, it's looking at nine, maybe 10 states. The Trump campaign is looking at 19. They're planning on expanding the map. But right now, it's an eternity between now and the election. And I don't want our people to be overconfident. I've been the one who's been least confident.
Right.
But this is good news, and now it's time to put the pedal to the metal and go for it. We could have a giant win. We could take back the House of Representatives. I am really right now pumped.
You know, that's, listeners, I hope you're paying attention, but it's very important to point out, Alan, you've always been very pragmatic about this, and that's what I love about you. And I'm hearing excitement in you that I haven't sensed quite to this level before. And coming out of the meetings that you had in the White House, I think that's wonderful. Let me go a step further. Let me ask you about Michigan. Let me ask you about Minnesota, for example. I know the White House has felt pretty confident of being able to flip, for example, Minnesota. Certainly their current House membership in the House of Representatives has not helped the Democrats, and there's a good possibility. Are they talking about possibly taking Minnesota as well, maybe Michigan and so forth?
Minnesota is a bit tougher, but the polling data right now looks really nice in Minnesota.
Good.
And the effort is very heavy. Michigan, it looks really great. The polling data in Michigan right now looks really good. And more importantly, you know, there was an African-American Republican candidate for the U.S. Senate last time that nobody ever knew, and he was unfunded. This time, his name ID is as good as his opponent is, and on the Democratic side, and this time he's totally funded, and that's going to hit the inner cities of Detroit and places like that in the state of Michigan. I think in Michigan, Trump's going to win, and I think there's a outside chance that we steal a Senate seat out of Michigan.
You know, it's really interesting with Michigan, because gun owners are in Michigan right now and in Minnesota, but I'm sensing it more so in Michigan. Minnesota gun owners always energized. They've always been fighting that fight up there. And you got a lot of Democrat gun owners in the state of Minnesota who I think are going to go Trump this go around. I think they realized the error of their ways last time. This time in Michigan, though, I'm really sensing, having, you know, my finger on the pulse of the grassroots and what's going on, and watching Michigan, Second Amendment sanctuary cities, for example, in the state, Alan, are burgeoning in the state of Michigan. I feel comfortable about Michigan, and I feel as comfortable about Michigan as I do PA. Relative to that blue collar, I think gun owners are going to want, it's what's going to pull this out in all three of those states. Is that a fair guess?
Definitely. And quite honestly, the big surprise to me is Nevada. I think there's a really good chance of pulling Nevada this time.
Hey, you want to give us why?
The polling data I've seen, it looks really, really good. And the effort the Trump campaign is putting on there is great. Former Attorney General Adam Laxalt, who I had spent a lot of time with this week in D.C. as well, is chairing the campaign in Nevada. Very strong pro-gun rights. He's got gun owners really heavily involved in Nevada for Trump. I think we're going to there's a good shot Nevada flips, you know, and that was a state Hillary Clinton carried last time. The map right now is expanded. The Democrats are on the defense in this election right now. It's not Trump on defense right now.
Well, they're
Trump's
fighting. Very much so. And the Democrats are fighting and are going to fight for not just this election, but I think for a very long time, the socialism moniker. I think they own it now. And to go back to your classic epic press release when Beto O'Rourke came out and told us what we already knew, that, hell yes, we want to take your guns. When you said they now own that confiscation, we're going to make them eat it. I think they're going to have to eat this communism socialism thing as well, too. Any guesstimate? Now, it's fun to talk about, and you're right. It's an eternity between now and then. Biden, of course, just pulled out what I would have guessed would have been an expected win in South Carolina. He pulled it out, and he pulled it out safely. Is he got enough momentum, you think, to overtake Bernie Sanders at this stage, or is it way too early to tell? Do we have to wait till after Super Tuesday?
Well, I don't think Super Tuesday is going to tell us a whole lot either. I think Bernie Sanders is going to take a number of states on Tuesday. I think Biden's going to get one. I think Amy Klobuchar is going to get one. But the problem is this, they've got the thing. If you get over 15% of the vote, you get part of the delegates.
Right.
So nobody's going to run away. Nobody's going to run away with all the delegates on Super Tuesday. The race is not decided this year on Super Tuesday like the Democrats thought it was going to be. But quite frankly, for us, it doesn't really matter. Because none of them in the campaign support gun rights. I mean, they're all, you know, each one is trying to be more anti-gun than the next one. And they're not getting the gun owners' vote in this upcoming election. It's going to go to Donald Trump. We're working, I mean, every gun group in the country is working in efforts to make sure gun owners are educated and organized and are going to turn out. And the Trump campaign is doing a marvelous job with that as well. I'm convinced that gun owners are going to be the difference in the 2020 election.
You know, I don't want to put you on the spot now because I got to take you to Bloomberg, but I don't have enough time in this segment. Can I keep you for one more?
Yes.
Excellent. Very good. Okay, listener, I can relax a little bit. I've got Alan for one more segment. Alan, let's take this to the break. Then we'll go to Bloomberg in the next segment. I feel, and you've got 60 seconds to answer this, I feel real good about gun owners right now and the effort that I see churning out in the grassroots organizations around the country. Are you feeling that enthusiasm like I am?
I'm not just feeling it. I am seeing it. I've attended some of the rallies in various state capitals, and I'm seeing, you know, the attendance four, five, six times higher than it's ever been in history. I'm seeing gun owners, you know, really engaged. To be honest with you, I've not seen gun owners this engaged in all the years I've been working for gun rights.
Wow, that's huge. Listener, did you hear that? Now, Alan, 40 years into this, we've talked about it before, but what's interesting is that I'm sensing the enthusiasm going up as the months tick by, as the campaign continues on. Here's what I want to talk with Alan about in the next segment. I want to ask him why the Democrats are foolish enough to continue to try to out anti-gun each other when they saw what happened to the other four that are on the sidelines. And I want to go to Bloomberg. Armed American Radio's Monster Cast will be right back in the Crossbreed Holster Studios. Don't go away.
America was founded through the blood of hard-fighting, hard-drinking men. Men who believed in freedom and whiskey, who laid down their lives and their fortunes forging the bedrock of this republic, and in doing so created a new species of man, the American. Lead Slinger's Whiskey was founded by 7 combat veterans who were tired of people afraid to support the Second Amendment. Together, they brought their love of American bourbon whiskey to freedom-loving, like-minded Americans. For more information and to read the story of Lead Slinger's Whiskeys and Rum, visit LeadSlingersWhiskey.com today.
The North American Arms 32 NAA Guardian Pistol, designed in partnership with Convor Ammunition. The 32 NAA fires a cartridge based on the 380 case, but necked down to hold the smaller 32 bullet. The result is a remarkable gain in ballistic performance that produces more velocity, energy, and stopping power than any conventional 32 ACP, 380 ACP, or 380 ACP plus P. The 32 NAA from North American Arms. For more information, please visit NorthAmericanArms.com. That's NorthAmericanArms.com.
It's the Bill of Rights, not the Bill of Needs. I'm Alan Gottlieb, founder of the Second Amendment Foundation. When someone says, we don't need that kind of gun, remind them the Founding Fathers determined what rights our Constitution should protect. There's a world of difference between rights and needs. It is not the function of government to tell us what we need or what we don't. Certainly no one needs an assault rifle or a Saturday Night Special, or for that matter, no one needs a Corvette with a high-capacity horsepower engine capable of speeds to 150 miles per hour. But in the hands of honest, responsible individuals, we have the right of choice. We have the right to read books others don't like. We have the right to listen to any radio program we choose. We have the right to dress the way we want to. We also have the right to own firearms of our choice. So the next time someone tells you, you don't need something, tell them it's the Bill of Rights, not the Bill of Needs. Join the Second Amendment Foundation today so that this message and our Bill of Rights might live. Call 425-454-7012. That's 425-454-7012.
You've helped build MyPillow into the amazing company that it is today, and now Mike Lindell, the inventor and CEO, wants to give back to you, my listeners. You can get deep discounts on all MyPillow products if you go to MyPillow.com right now and click on the new radio listener specials. Mike heard me talk about his pillows on air and joined us on Armed American Radio. I'm getting a much better night's sleep, and you can get deep discounts on MyPillows, mattresses, toppers, bed sheets, and so much more. For example, right now they're bringing back the buy one, get one offer for the MyPillows. That's right. Buy one MyPillow, get another one absolutely free. Remember, all MyPillow products come with a 60-day money-back guarantee and a 10-year warranty. Just go to MyPillow.com and click on the new radio listener specials and get deep discounts on all MyPillow products, including the buy one, get one free for the MyPillows. Enter promo code AAR or call 800-978-9358 for these great radio specials.
For the best night's sleep in the whole wide world, visit MyPillow.com.
The revolutionary Crossbreed Super Tuck holster is the most comfortable and concealable inside the waistband holster you'll ever wear, and nothing even comes close. Designed to completely conceal a firearm of any size and made to be worn with any attire, from shorts and a t-shirt to a suit and a tie. Based on your personal carry style, the Super Tuck may be worn comfortably with or without your shirt tucked in. Find out why the Crossbreed Super Tuck is the most often imitated but never duplicated holster design in the world. Visit CrossbreedHolsters.com today.
The Second Amendment Foundation has grown into what many believe to be the most important gun rights organization in America. With hundreds of thousands of active members, it is the Second Amendment Foundation defending your rights in courtrooms across the nation. Winning these battles in local jurisdictions all the way to the Supreme Court requires tireless effort and help from you. Please help the Second Amendment Foundation defend your freedoms by joining or donating today at saf.org. Join us at saf.org. Thank you. Welcome back inside Armed American Radio's Crossbreed Holster Studios with me for the continuation of the Monster Cast. This segment of Armed American Radio is being proudly sponsored by GetSupply.com. The perfect shave is closer than you think. Believe me, I know. Say hello to the last razor you'll ever buy. I did. I'll explain that in just a second. Welcome back to the show. Armed American Radio's Monster Cast continuing on here in the Crossbreed Holster Studios with the great Alan Gottlieb. Alan, first off, let me thank you for, just like you did last week, did you want to cap off anything from the previous segment, by the way, before I go to the next two areas I want to cover with you?
Yeah, I just want to say, you know, when you talk about how they're not learning from the Democrats who lost and had to drop out in the primaries, I don't really agree with you so much on that. You know, they're looking at the, in a primary, you turn out your base. The Democratic Party's base is not anti, it's not pro-gun rights. There may be a lot of Democrats out there that are pro-gun, but it's not the party people, the people that are engaged in the primary system. So the reason why it's not learning a lesson, so to speak, they're going to continue to be anti-gun because they're trying to get the anti-gun vote. That's where it sits. The pro-gun prohibition and gun confiscation, you know, people in this country are all engaged in the Democratic primary. So they're only talking to a narrow cast of the American public. They're not going to change.
And I guess when you're correct, when you look at the overall picture, you and I are looking at this from a bigger picture, not necessarily from the campaign itself as they try to push one another out to get the nomination. You're correct about that. Let's go on now to Michael Bloomberg, because we talked about Pennsylvania. You talked about what Laura Trump said and McLaughlin, the inside polling, et cetera. We saw what happened with Biden in South Carolina. You mentioned Pennsylvania. We talked briefly about Michigan, Minnesota. Where does Bloomberg fit into all of this right now as we come out of Super Tuesday, where he's kind of hanging his hat, at least right now?
I don't know. I think he's wasting a whole lot of money, which is good. I'm really kind of glad.
Right.
Unfortunately, a lot of the money he's wasting is aimed at gun owners with anti-gun rhetoric and commercials and stuff, which does affect public opinion, which I'm not happy about. When you only hear one message all the time, 24/7 on your TV set and your radio. But an interesting sidebar here that nobody's really talking about, but I've looked at it from the gun point of view here, is Bloomberg has a mixed message going on right now. In places where he's trying to reach, you know, his gun prohibition constituency, he's the typical Michael Bloomberg with all his anti-gun stuff. But in places where he's trying to reach the occasional Democrat who doesn't always turn out to vote, because he realizes he's not going to compete with Bernie Sanders in his socialist base, he's putting stuff out that doesn't talk about guns at all. Or if it talks about guns, it talks about how he's actually pro-Second Amendment but wants to do these other, you know, certain kinds of things to help make it safe, but he's pro-Second Amendment, which is totally not true, 110% not true. You know, and so it's kind of interesting. He's got so much money, he can split his messages so many different ways to different segments, to different people who he's trying to reach. And we've seen the materials he's put out, particularly in direct mail in going out. So one person gets something that talks about how anti-gun he is, another Democrat gets on there talking about that he's pro-Second Amendment. I mean, he is trying to manipulate the vote with his billions of dollars.
Is it possible for him to do that?
I don't think it's going to work. I don't think his micro-targeting is that good. He's making enough mistakes with it that enough people are seeing it going on and sharing his mixed messages. You know, he's trying to pretend he's running down the moderate lane. And then on the other side, if you run down the moderate lane, there is no moderate lane in Democratic primaries,
right.
So you don't really win. So what he's trying to do is play the moderate lane to get disenfranchised Democrats to vote for him. At the same time, he's trying to still get the Democratic, you know, left-wing base to vote for him. I don't think it's going to work, and I think there's an awful lot of money that when you have that much money, you spend it wildly, and I think he's wasting an awful, awful lot of it, which we should be happy about. But he is driving a lot of the anti-gun sentiment in the Democratic Party. There's no two ways about it, because how do you out anti-gun Michael Bloomberg when he's put billions of dollars in to destroy gun rights? It's hard to do.
It's impossible. And you know, that's, you just touched on what my fear was. I mentioned a number of times over the previous several weeks, particularly once the campaign got roaring, and that was that Bloomberg has the ability through purchase power and help from the media, of which he controls a large part of, no doubt just his own company, Bloomberg Media itself, his ability to be able to come across as moderate, and the possibility that the mainstream press, well, not the possibility, but the likelihood that the mainstream press would assist him in that I'm a moderate message, based on what we saw from all these leftists this far, because this is the farthest left we've ever seen in a Democrat Party seeking the nomination ever. I don't think we've ever seen anything like this in history. We may never again after they blow this one out of the water. But the fear was that he could come across as moderate. And that's now what you're talking about, is what he's seeking to do. And that's why I ask, is it going to work? It will, to a certain extent, I think. Some people will see it who might not be that much in the know and buy into it. But boy, I'll tell you what, there's no way to out anti-gun Michael Bloomberg, I don't think, Alan.
No, there isn't. What's interesting is all the Democrats running for president, it's really interesting. You know, they don't know gun owners. Everybody they know hates guns. And so they don't understand what's on the other side of the fence, you know, that they really have to fight. And so what's happening here is that they're believing their own rhetoric, thinking right. All of America, they believe their rhetoric that 92% of people want more gun control, you know, which is, you know, they believe it's their own polling data that's been misset up to try and confuse the issue and push their anti-gun agenda. And so when they believe all this stuff, they're not acting rational anymore, which is good for us.
Well, you know, it's interesting. You just answered my next question. My next question was going to be based off of that. When you said earlier, you know, when they were talking about why, I was asking why they're out trying to out anti-gun each other. Didn't they pay attention to the other four? My question to you was going to be, certainly they're smart enough to know that the rest of America who doesn't believe what they believe is also watching and seeing this implosion. And apparently they're not smart enough to figure that out. As we've always said before, I guess when the rhetoric is always in your favor and the media is your propaganda wing, you stay in that bubble and you just believe the hype, right?
Yeah, there's that, and there's also one other thing, the Trump derangement syndrome. They hate Trump so much,
yeah.
And they don't know anybody in illegal circles that would vote for Trump. So in their mind, again, is that Trump is evil, horrible, and there's no way in the world he could win anything. And so it doesn't matter how far left we move or how far anti-gun we move, we're going to win no matter what because we're running against Donald Trump. And that's the big fatal flaw mistake they're making.
I got it. Let me go back to Corporal Q-Ball, because James Carville. James Carville's talking sense for the first time in a long time. I'm watching Carville literally trying to tell his party, hey, guys, don't do this. Y'all don't do this, you know, in his Corporal Cue Ball way. He's right, isn't he? They're not listening to him, though, are they?
No, they're not this time around. Sometimes in the past, they have listened to him. They're not doing it this time at all. And, of course, Carville knows how strong the gun vote is in many key battleground states. And, he's warned them in past years about that as well. But this time around, he's really they just don't listen.
Yeah, it's like living in an upside down crazy world. Here's where I want to go to the end of this. So what I'm hearing you saying, just in a synopsis, the Trump campaign, you can tell us confidently, based on your meetings in Washington, they are 100% in tune with us as America's gun owners and patriots and freedom lovers, correct?
No doubt about it.
Confident in that, obviously.
He is the most pro-gun president that's been there in my lifetime. There's no two ways about it. Now, is he 100% perfect all the time? No.
Nobody is.
Example, I'll be real candid about it. You know, he's not a fan of bump stocks, okay?
Right.
Okay, but aside from something like that, you got him 110%. And where are the Democrats? Forget about bump stocks. They want to ban the guns they go on. So let's be honest about it. This election is a watershed election for gun rights. And particularly with the court nominations, which are so, so important, especially the Second Amendment violations work with all our legal actions and court cases. Another 4 years of pro-gun judges on the court, and we have generations of future Americans having their Second Amendment rights protected forever.
You are absolutely correct. Real quick, I want to try to squeeze two questions in, so here's the first one. In a second Trump term, how many Supreme Court justices does he get to nominate, do you think?
Well, I was with a group of people at CPAC, and we were talking about that. There's really a chance if he gets another term, he might have four.
Wow. Okay.
The logic there is that Clarence Thomas is getting up in his one of our great heroes there, but he's getting up in his years and will probably get replaced in the next 4 years.
Ginsburg. That's okay. Listen,
Ginsburg isn't going to hang around that much longer either. Breyer is getting pretty old as well. And Sotomayor is supposedly in some very good health. So there's a shot that they could be four of them. Could you see ending up being, an 8-1 pro-gun court?
Wow, that would be amazing. And I think you're right about Thomas, because he would feel comfortable in a second term, maybe taking some retirement, knowing that Trump was going to nominate someone with like mind. Alan, my next question I'm not going to have time for, so I'll just hold on to it till next week because it's all good. Alan Gottlieb, founder of the Second Amendment Foundation. Unbelievable information. Thank you, sir. So glad you got back safe from Washington, D.C., and I look forward to talking to you throughout this week and again on the MonsterCast. Thank you, Alan. We'll be back right after this. Don't go away.
Celebrating 20 years in business, GunBroker.com is the world's largest online marketplace to buy and sell firearms, ammunition, and accessories. With over 1 million auctions daily, you can expect to find a limitless number of top brand names on GunBroker.com. Sellers, you can reach nearly 5 million registered users on GunBroker.com. And buyers, you can buy with confidence knowing GunBroker.com respects your privacy and is the only online marketplace offering buyer's protection. Buy or sell your next firearm on GunBroker.com today.
It's the Bill of Rights, not the Bill of Needs. I'm Alan Gottlieb, founder of the Second Amendment Foundation. When someone says, we don't need that kind of gun, remind them the Founding Fathers determined what rights our Constitution should protect. There's a world of difference between rights and needs. It is not the function of government to tell us what we need or what we don't. Certainly no one needs an assault rifle or a Saturday Night Special, or for that matter, no one needs a Corvette with a high-capacity horsepower engine capable of speeds to 150 miles per hour. But in the hands of honest, responsible individuals, we have the right of choice. We have the right to read books others don't like. We have the right to listen to any radio program we choose. We have the right to dress the way we want to. We also have the right to own firearms of our choice. So the next time someone tells you, you don't need something, tell them it's the Bill of Rights, not the Bill of Needs. Join the Second Amendment Foundation today so that this message and our Bill of Rights might live. Call 425-454-7012. That's 425-454-7012.
Emerson Knives is the first company completely dedicated to producing knives for self-defense, law enforcement, and military applications. The Emerson CQC-7 is the most influential tactical folder of all time. Carried in places not found on any roadmap, the CQC-7 should be carried whether you're at a movie with your family or kicking indoors in Iraq. The CQC-7 is on duty with a select few who have known the chaos of conflict. For your own CQC-7, visit EmersonKnives.com. That's EmersonKnives.com.
We've all put ourselves in a potentially unsafe situation. Whether it's commuting at an odd hour, parking the car in that badly lit garage, or taking that nighttime run. So let's be real. We're not going to stop doing any of those things. The Taser Pulse Plus is here to help you approach every day with confidence and give you that backup if you ever need it. With an effective safety distance of up to 15 feet, delivering a 30-second cycle of muscular incapacitation, the Pulse Plus now has even more advanced safety features. It connects to the mobile safety app Noonlight to dispatch emergency services as soon as the Pulse Plus is triggered. No fumbling for the phone, no freezing up in fear. Pull the trigger and help is on the way. Protect yourself and your family with a leading brand in less lethal self-defense technology, Taser Self-Defense. Visit buy.taser.com and use the code AAR for 10% off the purchase of a consumer Taser device. That's buy.taser.com with the code AAR for 10% off.
You've helped build MyPillow into the amazing company that it is today, and now Mike Lindell, the inventor and CEO, wants to give back to you, my listeners. You can get deep discounts on all MyPillow products if you go to MyPillow.com right now and click on the new radio listener specials. Mike heard me talk about his pillows on air and joined us on Armed American Radio. I'm getting a much better night's sleep, and you can get deep discounts on MyPillows, mattresses, toppers, bed sheets, and so much more. For example, right now they're bringing back the buy one, get one offer for the MyPillows. That's right. Buy one MyPillow, get another one absolutely free. Remember, all MyPillow products come with a 60-day money-back guarantee and a 10-year warranty. Just go to MyPillow.com and click on the new radio listener specials and get deep discounts on all MyPillow products, including the buy one, get one free for the MyPillows. Enter promo code AAR or call 800-978-9358 for these great radio specials.
For the best night's sleep in the whole wide world, visit MyPillow.com.
Hi, it's Mike Gallagher wanting to let you know that the crew of the Desperado Sport Fish in Virginia Beach, Virginia, supports Armed American Radio and the Second Amendment, and I'm right there with them. Now back to Mark Walters.
Armed American Radio's Monster Cast in the Crossbreed Holster Studios. How the heck are you? Man, oh man. What a previous three segments with Alan Gottlieb. Sometimes I think to myself when I hear some of this information, because that was inside information you just got. That was the real deal. That was Alan being in Washington, D.C. and telling us for the first time exactly what he did. I'd not spoken to Alan. I mean, I talked to him by text, but I hadn't physically spoken to Alan since he got back. So we brought that to you on Armed American Radio today. And I honestly, that's just fantastic information. If you're like me, you sensed Alan's enthusiasm. And you can sense Alan's pessimism in previous shows when we talk about polls and data and campaigns and so forth. You know, we talked about it with Bloomberg and a number of others in the past, and you can sense that pessimism. In this case, we sensed a tremendous amount of optimism. Let me give you some information on some of my sponsors real quick, and then I want to tell you about the question that I had for Alan that I was unable to ask him. I think it's important, really, because of what we were just talking about with Mr. Gottlieb. But first, let me tell you, we've got more big news coming with Armed American Radio in the days and weeks ahead. Some of it I'll be able to tell you about. I had hoped to be able to tell you about it today, but we'll tell you about it probably on the daytime show without a doubt. Next week, we'll tell you about that. Coming up in the next hour, of course, Sadie Sweat is going to be here real quick. We're going to give away the gun from North American Arms in the next segment at the top of the next hour. So, good heavens, we've got a whole lot going on. But a lot of big news coming up. It's too late. Nope, you can't do that. You can't call North American Arms anymore. That winner has already been selected. I will find out who it is at the same time you do. But let's thank all of our sponsors, please, that make all of this possible. Bursa, Lead Slingers. I've not bought the Bursa yet. I know I'm going to get the email. I have not yet bought the Bursa Thunder. I'll let you know when I do. Lead Slingers, Defender Coffee. You support the Second Amendment every single time you take a sip of coffee. DefenderCoffee.com. This is the Crossbreed Holster Studios. Visit Crossbreed Holsters. You can go right to my website and click on their partner link and get discounts on all of their products right smack at armedamericanradio.com or .org. Take your pick. It doesn't matter. Both of them will get you there. And in the middle of the page, right below my photograph there, you'll see the sponsors after you see the listen live buttons for the show, and you'll see all the partners. Just click on those and you can get great discounts from all of them, not just Crossbreed, but a ton of them from Crossbreed Holsters as well. This is, in fact, the Crossbreed Holster Studios, has been for well over a decade. Of course, the Second Amendment Foundation, we just heard from Alan. Join us, please, at SAF.org and GunBroker.com. Really, Patricia Huff is coming up in the next hour. We're going to cover some really fun topic. New semi-autos and new revolvers, used semi-autos and used revolvers. We're going to cover those in two segments with her in the bottom half of the next hour coming up. So make sure to please visit GunBroker.com, sign up for free, and help support them. Doesn't cost you a penny to support GunBroker and Armed American Radio. Just sign up for free. It's that simple. My pillow, many of you are sleeping on the best Second Amendment comfort pillow in the world over at MyPillow.com, and got to love that. And, of course, Car Arms, no doubt about that. Supply, GetSupply.com, visit them. You hear the rejoiner from them as well. And Emerson Knives, we're getting ready to do an Emerson Knife and GunBroker.com range bag giveaway combination, and we're going to talk about that next week. I've got a conference call tomorrow, and I can't wait to find out some of the details. I'll let you know more about that coming up next week, but it's going to be a really, really good one. So please make sure to support all of our sponsors. All right, let's go over. Yeah, the North American Arms giveaway. I talked to Rick this week, and I'm in the process of getting the FFL worked out with him, sending him his gun. All kinds of really cool stuff going on over there. What I want to do with you now is I want to take you to the question that I wanted to ask Alan after that amazing conversation with him in the previous three segments. The one I didn't get a chance to ask him was this. How does he feel about the fact, because he told us, no doubt, in no uncertain terms, Alan made it very clear to us that Donald Trump was the most pro-gun president in his lifetime. Now, I don't need to tell you that maybe outside the president, because of the president's power as the most powerful man in the world, that there is no more powerful man on earth when it comes to the fight for your right to keep and bear arms, and that's his sole focus, than Mr. Alan Gottlieb. And I stand by that. He is responsible for 80 to 85% of the pro-gun court rulings that have been handed down over the last 40 years have come out of the Second Amendment Foundation. His ties to the White House, for gosh sakes, we were just talking with him about his meetings in the White House in Washington this past week. So we know how powerful Mr. Gottlieb is, and we thank him for just taking time out of his very busy schedule. And believe me, it's busy. I know his schedule, to come on this program. But my question was, because we know how pro-gun Trump is, at least as far as politicians go, et cetera, how does he feel about Donald Trump Jr. as a backup in there underneath the president, keeping him propped up in the event Trump should sway? I was disappointed in the bump stock thing like Alan was, no doubt. But Donald Jr. is adamant. I've never seen anything supporting any gun bill whatsoever or any restriction or gun control law ever come from Donald Trump Jr. The only thing I've ever seen from Donald Trump Jr. is pro-gun, 100%. And I wanted to ask Alan, was he confident that should Trump sway, that his son, Donald Trump Jr., who is outspoken pro-Second Amendment advocate, would be there as a safety net? And I think I can answer that question on behalf of Alan, and that is, I believe he would say 100%, unequivocally 100% yes. But I would assume that Alan would probably say that he doesn't feel that Trump is going to sway at any point in time either, particularly during a campaign, and certainly not in any way, shape, or form after the campaign or any time during a second term. I think Donald Trump, and I know Alan is very well aware of this. We've talked about it many times, and you've heard him say it, that he is very well in tune with who put him in the White House. And hearing him talk about Pennsylvania the way he did was, let me phrase this in a fun word, absolutely humongous, ginormous. And I agree with him 100% on Pennsylvania. The example that Pennsylvania holds with all of the dynamics in play in the state of Pennsylvania is no doubt the same type of dynamic that's in play in Michigan and Minnesota, Wisconsin, keeping Wisconsin, et cetera, in Trump camp. And of course, you heard him say also swaying Nevada, maybe not as much blue collar out there as you have in those north, you know, North Atlantic states, up in the upper Midwest, of course, in Minnesota, Wisconsin, Michigan, Ohio, I think is firmly in Trump's camp at this stage of the game that it's not even considered anymore a swing state. I think Ohio belongs to Trump in the next election. They don't seem to be too concerned about it. The other question I would have liked to have asked him, and we didn't get around to it, and I don't want to put any words in his mouth because I have no idea how he would answer it, but how he would feel about Florida right now. How he would feel about Florida. There's a obvious demographic shift in Florida. Personally, I feel comfortable about that. I love talking about this stuff with the election when it comes from a pro-gun perspective because I absolutely 100% agree with Alan Gottlieb. What we see in Pennsylvania tells the tale of the tape. I don't see those former Reagan Democrats that are now Trump Democrats going anywhere anytime soon. Now, quickly, let me go back. We're not going to have A.W.R. Hawkins on the program with us. That's okay. We're going to have Sadie Sweat on the show. Then we're going to have Patricia Huff coming up in the next hour. And, of course, after that, we have Neil McCabe is going to be with us in hour three. We'll get some great analysis from Washington from our, I say our newest contributor. Neil's been a contributor to this program for years and years and years. He is now back. Good heavens. Neil McCabe, will be hearing from him here on Armed American Radio in the next couple hours. And after the next hour, Neil will be here for a full solid hour. We'll get his take as well. But yeah, I'm feeling comfortable about it. Take a look at A.W.R. Hawkins' piece if you want any more info on Don Jr. Donald Trump Jr., hold to your Second Amendment rights at all costs. No question. We have allies on our side, the right to keep and bear arms in the White House. I feel much better after that conversation with Alan. I hope you do, too. We'll be back in the next hour. Remember, carry on, carry often, carry absolutely everywhere. Never leave your cave without your club. We'll be back right after this. Don't go away.
You've just filled your prescription for freedom on Armed American Radio with Mark Walters, the loudest voice in America fighting for gun rights.